just following the Bible historically, I think we're up to a point right now, and I always kind of had this in the back of my mind that when we hit the law, that I was going to start spinning, and sure enough, it happened. Starting to get into things, and it's like, okay, exactly how do I keep this going? But I actually feel the Lord wants me to start talking about some other things right at the moment. And so last week I started talking to you, and we actually titled the message, Get Ready. I believe this is a part of the apathy that's actually supposed to kind of hit the body of Christ in the end days. A lot of people have seen the revelation when Jesus is talking about the seven churches. They've seen that as a description of the stages of the church will go through before Christ returns. And I would actually have to say that Laodicea is the last one, and the church is probably in its greatest lackadaisical state it has been in a very long time. We came a lot, since the Dark Ages, we have shot right out of things, but we are at a point now where the church has pretty much said, hey, we're rich, we're fat, we're happy, we don't need to do anything. And that's globally. Again, that's not just the American church. We're not pointing fingers saying, well, that church is like this church, that denomination. We need to, first off, don't worry about them and focus on ourselves. But kind of what really spurred me on was I was talking to a woman the other day, and she was talking about how her friends invite her to go out and to eat at the Mexican place. She says it's a Mexican restaurant. She called it a place. So I don't know if it's a Mexican bar, Mexican whatever, but she said it's definitely they go for happy hour. And she said when they called her stuck up, she said, it's not that I think I'm any better than you. She said, I just have to think that if my Lord and Savior returns, is that where I want him to find me? Is in a bar. And I'll be honest with you, that I was amazed. I was like, somebody is getting some of this. Because I'll be honest with you, too many people today, well, I don't care. I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. Well, you know what? Keep the Doris Day philosophy and see how that works out for you on judgment. Because you're not taking in consideration other people. And that's, if you've looked at judgment, that's what God looks at. How did we divide the word of truth rightly? So I really felt that it was time that we start talking about getting ready. And so I started reading in Matthew chapter 24. And there won't be any overhead tonight, so you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. You're going to have to thumb it. But we are in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to go to 29. His disciples asked him some questions. Lord, well, let me back up here while you're turning there. In verse 3 they said, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They asked him three questions. Because one, he was sitting at the temple. They took him around to show him the temple. And he said, surely I tell you, not one stone will be left upon another. And so they wanted to know when this will happen. Well, we happen to know that it happened in 70 AD, that the temple was destroyed. But we do know that they are working on rebuilding it. We also know that exactly where the temple stood, there is a mosque currently. So we know that a false religion has set in on where the temple stood. And so Jesus is actually answering a series of three questions. And I believe part of them will tell us, he was talking about that, but I believe part of it is to tell us, give us signs of what to look for. Even though we don't know, which we haven't got there yet, when it's going to happen, we can know the signs. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, like in verse 15, it says, when you see the sign of the abomination, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then in parentheses it says, whoever reads, let him understand. this was obviously something added as not Jesus saying that. It says whoever reads, okay? So it was written by Matthew. There's something to all of this stuff, so we need to understand. As a matter of fact, the number 666, the Apostle John said it is wisdom to know that. And I'll be honest with you, everybody keeps coming, well, it's Caesar, it's Caesar. Caesar is dead. It is not Caesar, but it is the sum of a man's name. In other words, it is an equation that works out, but I don't think, because I've looked it up in Hebrew, and there's actually some concerning things with just looking it up in Hebrew, but it is more, it's got to be much more than that, because it says it's wisdom. You have to dig for wisdom. Wisdom isn't just sitting, I wish it were, to be honest with you, sitting right there waiting for me to ask the question. Wisdom is something you have to dig for. All right, so now we're in Matthew chapter 24, and I believe you're at 29. And these, again, are the words of Christ. He's telling us himself. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I'm going to stop there real quick. I pointed out last week, we did go over this, but I pointed out that today with the Hubble Space Telescope, we are able to see clouds millions of miles away. So far away, it blows our mind. So far away that it takes light so many years just to reach us. That's why we have to go send this thing out there so far and then send satellites to send these images back. They're seeing things forming and building up on the horizon that we can't see. So, but I honestly, and I've talked about this last week, I believe it was Charles Stanley, did a message on the sign of the constellations, that there is a sign appointed in the constellations for each time and season. Genesis backs that up completely. The stars were put in the heavens to tell of the times. Okay? And I pointed it out last week that you those of you remember this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. They sang that song at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It wasn't just something somebody thought up. It was actually happening. But the times do change. And so anyhow, verse 31. Now remember, he said, after the tribulation. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, I personally, I'm not 110% sure that I can stand here and say, because we all know, I know you're asking, post, pre, post, mid, or pre, right? Well, I did read after, right? And then he gathers his people. Just saying. So if you're wondering. It did say after. Those were his words. But can I tell you something? You're the one he equipped for this day and age. So what if we have to go through it? So what? He's equipped us to go through it. You know what the great thing that I find amazing? The prophet Daniel wasn't equipped to do it. Oral Roberts wasn't equipped to do it. Smith Wigglesworth, as much faith as the man had, was not equipped to do what we are equipped to do today. Isn't that amazing? So the next time the devil's on your back saying, oh, you little piece of stuff, you faithless thing, say, oh, no, no, no. God thinks I've got good faith because he equipped me for such a time as this. I was born for this time, okay? So he's going to gather his elect. By the way, that's what the word church means, is the elected ones. Just throwing this out. I think we've made it too harder than it actually is, to be honest with you. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. That's King James, New King James. I want to cut something out that would put it King Arthur, okay? That's my translation. Know that it is at the doors. I cut out near, but know that it is at the doors. In other words, when we see all these signs actually happening, like I said, in 1988, they said the planets were lining up. We were having the astrological sign of the Son of Jesus coming. That's not the sign. Okay? The planets lining up is not the sign of Jesus returning, because they've done it several times and he didn't come back. This sign will only happen once, just as the star over Bethlehem. That sign only happened one time. And if you don't, those of you may not know, you need to go and actually watch a Louis Giglio presentation, because he's the one that talked about it, about how these three planets actually came into formation and they created one bright star, and they only hung in the heaven for so long, and they actually led those wise men to the birthplace, to a cave in a small town outside of Jerusalem. I mean, think about that for just a minute. I mean, they would have traveled months, but this sign stayed there long enough for them to see it. And only they knew what it meant. So that means we need to pay attention. But don't go reading your horoscope every morning looking, okay, I'm a Gemini, let's see. Oh, this is what it says about my day. Oh, I better go back to bed. All right. But Jesus is just telling us, just as we already know, that when we see a fig tree start to bud, summer's near. Well, when we start seeing these signs, we know he's at the door, okay? Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things have taken place. The generation he's talking about, folks, is the generation that sees these things. Currently, I believe we probably have two generations here. We have the baby boomers and Gen Xers. I don't think anybody else in here right now is the next one up. But we have three in the church. But there's the Gen Xers and baby boomers right now. There's another gen, and I think they call them Gen Y, Generation Y, because they're asking why all the time. But we have three generations. Jesus is saying that the generations that see this, so it could be your generation of the baby boomers, it could be my generation, or it could be the Generation Y. One of those three generations, if we're the ones to see all these signs, and I believe we're starting to see some of them, but we haven't seen some of these other ones, okay? The sun's still putting out its light and the moon's still coming up at night and all that, which we happen to know now that if the sun goes dark, the moon goes dark. So the moon is a reflector. So that's why the moon goes out, but we have not seen that happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In other words, he's saying this earth is going to pass, but what I just told you is going to happen. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. All right, let that put you at ease. The prophet running around saying at the end of the world is coming tomorrow, he's a liar. He's a prophet liar. Don't put any money in his can. Okay? He doesn't know. A lot of people are still speculating at feasts and things of this nature happening. Well, that may be one way to try to run it down. I don't know. All I know is I don't see anything about a feast just yet. Although I did start in this, I ended up going back into Daniel, and I'm going to tell you, Daniel just, he's got more to say about it than the book of Revelation's got to say about it. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. You know what that's telling us? This is so hypocritical. Be doing what you're supposed to be doing. For years, people have taught, there ain't no need in you getting married. Jesus is coming back. You know, in 1988, I graduated. I prayed he wasn't. I wanted to get married. Doggone it, there were some things in life I wanted to do. But you know what was going around? Don't you be worrying about that, young man. You don't need to be worrying about getting... I'm going to tell you right now, I have stayed pure for one reason and one reason only. Okay? And the church was trying to rob people of that. It's not the first time, and it probably won't be the last. But you see, that's what there ain't no point in you trying to get you a husband. Don't you be worrying about trying to get you a woman. Jesus said that life should be going on as usual. We should be making flour. We should be plowing our fields. In other words, whatever it is you do, you should be doing it. Because he's going to come and take you, whether you're in bed or whether you're up working. By the way, I've heard some people talk about, I'm going to throw this out real quick, talk about being cremated. My last wish is, I do not want to burden that on my family. Burn me. Cremate me. You know, if you want to scatter my ashes, so be it. If you want to put them in some place, I don't care. I don't care if you dump me in a swamp in South Carolina. Just don't care. Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you know it is illegal to go across the lines? I think I shared that about my aunt being shipped via post office from Florida to West Virginia. This wasn't too long ago. She was cremated in Florida. Her husband put her in a box, one of those probably those $5 boxes, shipped her ashes to Charleston, West Virginia, picked her up in Charleston and took her out and buried her on a hill. But that's illegal, just so you know. They didn't know until my dad told them. But it's only if you get caught, yeah. But anyhow, and I've heard people talk about, well, that's so pagan to be burned. You're going to burn. You know what? What about the guys that were torched and exploded in aircraft and things and ships and the people that they still haven't found their remains out of 9/11? What about their remains? You're saying just because that happened to them, God can't pull together their dust? He says he's going to gather them from the four winds. I don't care where you at. If they take you to Mount Everest and they toss your ashes and they go around the world, God has the power to bring your ashes together, which should excite some of us who like thrills. Because you might just be walking along and all of a sudden, holy smoke, somebody just came together, particleized. She was trying to, how can God? Yeah. God had the power to bring all the dust that made Adam together. And you just read it. He'll gather his elect from the four winds. That means if you're dust, he'll gather you. If you're solid, he'll gather you, okay? So don't let that be a big issue for you, because it's not for me. Because again, like I said, there's people that have, their bodies were destroyed completely in battle or in accidents and things, and for us to stand and say, well, God isn't going to bring their body, that's sacrilege, heretical in my opinion. You're putting words into God's mouth, the God who created this awesome body out of dust and probably some spit and a little bit of wind. 42, he said, watch therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. All right. So, he did tell us to watch. So that means daily, right? We don't know what hour. We don't know. It means we're to be on guard all the time. And just like that woman said, if Jesus returns during happy hour, is that where I want him to find me? Probably not. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what she was going into. She called it a Mexican place. It might have just been a restaurant that had a bar. I mean, for crying out loud, if that's the case, then anytime I eat at El Crampin's Cremo's, I might take a chance. Jesus is going to come back and find me there. But as long as he doesn't come back and find me with Bud Light, that's okay. Because that's not being the light. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, I'm going to stop there because we've read about the faithful and evil servant. But there's some things I wanted to talk about real quick. In verse 15, as Daniel was talking about the abomination of desolation, that has been something that has been thrown up for years and years. And, you know, honestly, I do believe when Jesus was talking about the physical temple in Jerusalem being destroyed, I believe he was actually talking about the Roman army. Okay, but the thing is, it doesn't just mean, that's what I'm looking for, the desolation, the being emptied part. The two words abomination and desolation are actually two different things. And if you go back in to Daniel in 9:27 and read that, it's talking about when there will be an abomination set in, but then it says upon the wings of abomination comes desolation, someone who brings desolation in. And as I was looking up those words a little bit ago, it's interesting. The word abomination actually means an idol, something detestable, something loathsome, something filthy, okay? And the word desolation obviously means to finally to be empty, okay? It does mean emptied, but there's some word, desolate means you are emptied. The words desolation going in is actually a slightly different word. It means to be amazed, to be in awe, stunned. In other words, if we read this correctly, the Apostle Paul kind of let out some things. He said, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, that kind of changes the game for us a little bit, doesn't it? Because why is God going to come back and set up a practice of man in Jerusalem that we know currently there is a mosque and there's highly doubtful that that's going to get tore down anytime soon, if not for the fact that Paul said that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, if Jesus was not trying to get us to understand that in this point he was talking about the literal temple being destroyed, but that in the tribulation times, in our times, the end times, he's talking about us, our hearts. Our hearts becoming filled with idols, people and things that amaze and stun us, and that we have become void of the Word of God. We have become void of his Spirit. Because, see, to be honest with you, if he's coming back for the elect, we're not going to be sitting in Jerusalem, because we know that that's just a religion of man at that point. Because Jesus fulfilled all those requirements. There is no need for us to go to Jerusalem and make sacrifices daily. Even though that is something that is believed to be going to happen. As a matter of fact, they are trying to get practice or sacrifices happening every day. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, they've still got to come up with the red heifer. There has to be a perfect, they have had that red heifer for years and she's had children. Just so you know. The ashes of a red heifer have to be offered and there's certain things that have to be done with that. But she's been developed for quite some time. They've bred her out and she has got spotless heifers on the ground yet. So when she gets so old, they breed her and they make more. So it's, we're not waiting for the red heifer anymore. But what we are having to watch in the body of Christ across the world is our hearts, that our hearts do not come, become amazed and stunned and in awe struck, starstruck, let me put it that way, at people, at ministries, because I saw signs happen here. Signs are not a guarantee that the presence of God is in that person's life. They're the signs that it's a magic trick. I'm going to put it that way, okay? There's things you have to watch. The people's lives have to line up with the Word of God. What they're saying, what they're doing. How are they treating people? How are, okay, you following me? And one of the things I honestly, and I'm going to be careful to say this, is our leadership in this country. Okay, did I say that vague enough but plain enough? Any abominations that are stunning people? Things that are happening? One of the things that Daniel talks about is a horn in the fourth beast. He talks about four beasts, and I honestly I don't believe that it was just the four empires that were before us. I believe that because if you read it, it says that the fourth one is destroyed, but the three only have their dominion taken away. They still exist. They are no longer ruling. In other words, I think it's four governments, types, out of those bases that are ruling today. And the United States has our form of democracy comes straight from the Roman Empire. And that is the one that is believed to be a part of this machine. It was such an awful beast, folks. Daniel couldn't even describe it. All he could describe was its huge iron teeth and how devastating and terrifying this thing was. And it, everywhere it went, destruction followed. Well, I mean, seriously, we're waging war on one front. We haven't even shut down one. We're about to open up another. Right now, at the moment, we are the world power. Well, what's that to say? Listen, we are Christians before we're Americans. If the church would understand that and pray for the country that we are a part of, that we have founded. Yes, I love this country. I mean, I think you should know that. But in the end, is our way of ruling any different than the Roman Empire? I don't think so. I mean, for crying out loud, the cover-ups that happened, people being killed, and I mean, our own president has got a hit list of Americans. They're authorizing drones to be flown across the United States to spy on us. Which I actually like the town in Colorado that is trying to bring into law a hunting permit. You pay $100, you can shoot down a drone. Except they're limiting it to a 12-gauge shotgun. I don't know why. I think I'll go out with my muzzleloader at least, or maybe my 30-30. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but we're talking about something that is terrifying. And the thing about that beast in particular was the horns. It said three were plucked out by the root, but one little one grew up, and it had eyeballs, and it had a mouth, and it had a very arrogant, pompous mouth. I don't know, has anybody seen the audacity of some of the stuff coming out of our government today? Democrats saying we're taking God out of our platform. Don't be surprised if you see some of this stuff happening in our country and da-da, we were spoken of. I don't think it's all based, I don't think God's going to let a country come up this big, and we're not, you do understand, we are bigger than any empire that has ever been on this planet. Any. Because you got to remember, well, England, they ruled the world. Well, Egypt, they ruled the known world at the time. The United States itself is bigger than most of those kingdoms in all their glory. And that doesn't include our effects and our reaches. We have in our arsenal 3 nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. Do you know they don't have to come in but every 12 years to get new fuel? If it weren't for needing food for the people, they wouldn't need to come in. So we have the greatest military, the greatest economy, even though as terrible as it is, we still have all of that stuff. We are still the top. People worried about China. China doesn't want to mess with 350 armed people. But they've got 1 billion. Yeah, and only 1 million of them are armed because they do not let their people have weapons. I don't think we need to worry about that. Russia, yeah, they're still a threat. Anybody that thinks they aren't, pull your head out of the rock, out from underneath the rock, because they're still a threat. But in the end times, the things we have to be focused on is our heart. What are we letting come in? The things we let come in and take the place of God leave us empty. They desolate us. They decimate everything about us. Today, recreation's got to be in the this country has got to be the number one thing on everybody's list. Recreation. Fishing, camping, football, baseball, basketball, golf, motorcycling, boating, everything. Vacations are one thing, okay? And I encourage you to take vacations. God knows we need them. God even tried to institute it into his word that one day a week we take a vacation. We don't do it. To be honest with you, I kind of think that's why the country's in the situation it's in right now. I know people kind of doubt, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, may think I'm a little crazy for saying that, but if you look at Israel, 2 things God wanted done. Destroy the idols, okay, the things in our lives, and restore the Sabbath. They took the Sabbath away. We say, well, you got to work. Well, yeah, but you need that day off. You need that rest. The land needs a rest. By the way, that was his biggest beef with them. The land was not getting the rest. You know what happens if you take, you know, everybody gets upset when they run these puppy mills, right? And rightfully so. You wear the animal down. Our job is not to destroy the animals. We get upset about that, but yet the land, let's just keep running it without giving it the break that it needs. If we'd rotate stuff properly, we'd see the blessing of God. We got people that just don't stop. How do you do that? I don't know how they do it. Now go ask the Amish. They figured out how not to do it. Yeah, no Sunday sales. Don't ask. That's just all there is to it. No, we are not open today. It is our Sabbath. Yeah, yeah, there was a time in life, I remember. No, I remember a time in life when the TV went off. And they actually read a nice, pretty poem about God. I stayed up to watch that, to be honest with you, midnight every night. And I rejoiced the next day when the collar bars disappeared. Because, I mean, it was cartoon time. I think it was about 6 o'clock. But you know, not now. We're 24/7, 365 all the time. The abomination of desolation that the church has to be cared for, is our heart. We need to watch what comes in that destroys and empties us of the Word of God. We cannot afford to be asleep in our cozy little bed with our feather tick and you know, our pillow. We're all comfy and the thief walks in. Yeah, of course, if the thief lets you know what day and hour or you know what time of the night he's going to break in, you're going to be waiting at the door with your gun, right? That's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. He's not telling us. That means we need to be on watch all the time. Be ready all the time. You know, if you ever watch any of these caper movies where they either break in and steal $10 billion or whatever, or diamonds and stuff, they always wait for a switch of the guard when there's a downtime to do that. And you know what? That's what we got to watch. Well, I'm so tired. Listen, the only thing you've got to watch is your own life. You ain't got to worry about your spouse. Let God take care of them. You take care of you. You pray for your spouse if you know that they're being belligerent. And I'll just stop there. Because I see some of you looking at me laughing. Because you've got a few other words you'd like to throw in there too. But we've got to get ready. You know, in the 40s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, people were singing the songs about get ready. Jesus is returning. It's soon. But he doesn't want to come back and find us all sitting here huddled in the church praying. He wants to come back and find us out there doing what he has called us to do. If he's called you to install windshields, you'd be out there installing windshields. If he's called you to be up there working at the hospital, you'd be up there working at the hospital. If he's called you to be up there making car parts, you'd be up there making your car parts. Whatever it is. Because that's where he can use you. That's the real mission field. This is not a mission field. Getting people saved in church is like shooting fish in a barrel, to be honest, in my opinion. Most people should be saved if they're faithful attenders. You following me on that? I remember a time when somebody, we've had 52 weeks of people getting saved. Yeah, but I didn't. I was one of the few people that didn't close my eyes because I was in the sound booth and I could point to people raising their hands. And about half that time, it was the same two people. They got saved every Sunday. And they just could not get it. Dude, just because you messed up doesn't mean you got to get saved again. Ask God to forgive you. As a matter of fact, I had the one show up here and did the same thing to me. And I told him flat up, you're saved. You're either saved or you're not. If you said in a minute, you're saved. So quit putting your hand up, because I'm not counting you every week as somebody that got saved. You know what? We get, isn't that funny? We get petty like that. We got to keep track. And I've come to realize what people are asking, but you know, it annoys the socks off of me when a preacher asks me how big my church is. I don't really care. I happen to know we aren't the smallest in the county anymore. But I don't care who is, and I'm not keeping track of how many cars are down the road. What I'm keeping track of is, how's my people doing? Are they strong enough to cast out 1,000 demons tomorrow, if need be? That's what matters. And if we only ever grow to fill this building, then so be it. I don't care. I just want to see people victorious. I want to see people changed. Who cares if you come in and you paid for the first three rows? Yeah, if you go to hell, you're going to hell, and guess who's watch you went to hell on. So don't let, and just go right back to it, don't let things become an idol in your life. God says give them up, give them up. I'll be honest with you, I was seeing where my motorcycle was becoming a bit of an idol. I said, you know what? God said, well, if you really think that, get rid of it. I got it, and I got the biggest piece of junk truck you could ever find. Even though I couldn't get the bike started that night, running, idling right, that guy knew he was getting a better deal. But I'm a better person for it. Besides that, God's bringing what I really want. I just have to make sure that I don't let it become an idol. Because like I said, folks, anything can become an idol. Oh, our church, don't make this church an idol. I don't want to see you have to cut it away. All right, let's stand. Just get ready. Well, I've got to tell you, it has been, my sister asked me, she says, well, how's your week going? I just stopped thinking, it's been a blessed week. It's been a good week. I wish it hadn't rained. I had to work in mud today. I sided the back of the building over here so that it actually kind of blends in now, the old part. And I got to tell you, I sit and I think about God, all the things that he's done and different paths that our lives take, and I have to thank him for Joshua's diesel. I know that sounds stupid. That boy pulled that wall. They ran a tow motor in it and buckled that wall about 8 inches, and it was going to have a big bow in the thing, and I'm like, I don't like that. I tell you what, that 7.3 diesel, he buckled it the other way. It's a straight wall now. Not before we broke a 6-inch C-clamp and a few other things. We finally found some stuff that holds up. But you know, just like that, something I wasn't going to get to it. Got to it. Richard helped me set the air conditioner on Monday night. We got the other air conditioner and heater sitting out there. Wall sided. I only got a piece and a half to go. This whole thing is going to be God's timing. As a matter of fact, I think by the time we get to it and we get approval, they're going to say, just get in there. God's given us such favor in everything. So keep that in mind with everything you're doing. God's given you favor. You know how I know? Because he said you're blessed. And that's what the word blessed means. If he says you are blessed, that means you have favor. Everywhere you go. If you walk in and suddenly you're at the front of the line, that's favor. You're driving around Walmart and suddenly somebody pulls out of the first spot next to the handicaps, that's favor. You go in and the thing you wanted was the last one on the shelf, it's favor. You're blessed. Don't ever negate it. I read something this week that said, learn how to get rich quick. Count your blessings. If we stop and do that, is that where it was at? I couldn't remember where. I've seen them all over the place, but it's like, that's right. Let's start counting our blessings. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And Lord God, I thank you now for your word. And I ask, Father, that you help us all to watch and guard our hearts, to guard this temple, to not allow anything in it that will make it desolate, to make it void and empty of your word, of your love, and of your presence. Lord, I pray now that you move in each and every believer's life. I pray that if there is things that are pushing that bound, Lord God, that you bring it to their attention. Cause them to examine that and to put that thing in its proper place. I thank you now again for these people, Lord. I ask that you bless them. Bless the rest of this week. Bless the work of their hands, Father. Prosper all that they go to do for you, for their employers, and for themselves for good. in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for encouragement right now, because I believe there may be a few in here who are feeling a little bit kicked down and drug out. Lord, right now, strengthen them, encourage them, Lord God, that you are on their side and you've got their back, because you are already in front of them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, you're dismissed.